Coming up on KUCB News, Aleutian weather has broken two long-standing records, and the filing deadline is fast approaching for Unalaska's local election. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Monday, August 12th, 2019. Last month marked the hottest, driest July in the Aleutian Islands in 95 years. As KUCB's Hope McKenney reports, the conditions match the larger trend across Alaska, which experienced below-average rainfall and record-breaking heat.
While the lower 48 experienced significantly above-average temperatures in July, climatologists say it was Alaska's warmest month on record since 1925.
This is really in keeping with what we've seen across the state over the last half decade.
That's Rick Toman, a climate scientist based in Fairbanks. He says the Aleutian Islands were no exception to the trend. Not only did the region experience record-breaking heat, it also had record dry conditions.
This was the driest July in that 95 years in the Aleutians region there, which includes basically from Falls Pass westward as well as the Pribilofs.
The Aleutians got just over 1.5 inches of rain, nearly 2 inches below the region's long-term average. It also experienced an average maximum temperature of nearly 59 degrees, almost 5 degrees above the long-term average. Toman says climatologists are still looking into the implications of all that hot, dry weather.
What drought means in southwest Alaska and the Aleutians, that is a good question.
He says it could hurt water quality in streams, which would affect salmon and other species the region relies on for subsistence and commercial fishing. Whatever the immediate impacts may be, Toman says the long-term trend for ocean temperatures is only going in one direction, and that's up.
The oceans all around the state, the Gulf of Alaska, the North Pacific, the Bering Sea, and then north of the Bering Strait in the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas, everywhere, ocean temperatures are significantly warmer than normal. And when they're well above normal, like they are this year, that is really an important factor for Aleutians climate.
Despite dry and warm conditions last month, Toman says the Aleutians could see heavy rainfall later this year. As the oceans warm, he says there's more water evaporating into the atmosphere, and that's more water for fall storms to tap into. In Unalaska, I'm Hope McKenney.
With 1 week until classes start, Unalaska's teachers are back at school today, training and preparing their classrooms. Superintendent John Conwell says the Unalaska City School District has filled all 8 of its teacher vacancies. That includes the high school science position, which David Gibson resigned over the summer to accept a job with Unalaska's fire department.
We have a larger number than usual of new teachers, and as much as we hate seeing teachers leave, we are really excited about some of the new talent that we have joining our faculty this year.
Conwell says students will meet new and returning teachers when classes start next Monday morning at 8:30. There will also be an orientation night for families on September 4th, followed by a back-to-school barbecue open to the community. Contractors may be drilling this week between Unalaska's clinic and City Hall. The geotechnical work is part of the assessment phase in a capital project proposing the city build a new police station at the site of the skate park. That suggestion was made in March by a Juno design firm that evaluated the current public safety building and found that it was far too small for its operations, which include police, fire, and corrections work. But before the city council decides whether to commission a full design, they asked the firm to sample the land at the site of the proposed facility and make sure that it's suitable for development. Officials say contractors could be doing that drilling and potholing work as soon as today and tomorrow, though their schedule is subject to change. You can catch the latest construction notices airing here on 89.7 FM and on Channel 8 TV. Meanwhile, the state capital budget, signed last week by Governor Mike Dunleavy, puts more than $100 million to work across Alaska and brings in nearly $1 billion worth of federal money for infrastructure and transportation. But it also came with a caveat, $35 million worth of line item vetoes, many of them for programs that serve the state's most vulnerable residents. As Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, many in Anchorage are alarmed by the reductions to homeless services and addiction treatment, two issues the city is struggling with and that have ramifications across the state.
Dunleavy's vetoes to the capital budget include cutting $10 million that would have gone to build substance abuse treatment facilities around the state. The governor also struck $3.6 million from the homeless assistance program, cutting it in half. The issues of homelessness and addiction, though, overlap, particularly in Anchorage, says Jasmine Boyle.
What we know is that homelessness is the catch-all. We're the catch-all for the rising trends of domestic violence in our community. We're the catch-all for the rising trends of opioid addiction. If you are impoverished and you lose a critical service, you are more likely to end up in homelessness. And in our current state in Alaska, you are more likely to end up in homelessness in Anchorage.
Boyle directs the Anchorage Coalition to End Homelessness, which represents different nonprofits and service providers in the municipality. The funds vetoed for homeless assistance would have gone to organizations around the state, including many in Anchorage that assist in keeping families housed, as well as supportive housing for the severely disabled.
Basically all of our shelters.
Boyle was driving between back-to-back meetings as organizations scramble to deal with the knowledge that they have about half the money to serve an increasing need. Nancy Burke is Anchorage's homeless coordinator. She says nonprofits are already seeing signs of distress among the poor, disabled, and elderly.
You know, United Way is showing a significant increase in calls for people looking for resources to maintain their housing.
For years, Anchorage's local politics has been consumed with problems arising from homelessness and policies to try to reduce it. Now, many of the areas that have seen the most success are the same ones that are paid for by the funds vetoed by the governor. On top of that, the operating budget is still not finalized. And if the governor maintains his deep cuts, as he's signaled he's likely to do, that'll mean further reductions to social services and housing assistance. More than a month into the new fiscal year, Burke says the uncertainty has caused damage for nonprofits trying to write their budgets.
This is just really destabilizing everything.
At his Thursday press conference signing the capital budget, Dunleavy said reducing state spending is critical in light of the drop in revenue from low oil prices.
I want to also say that I'm under no illusions that the impacts of these reductions aren't felt by Alaskans, and they are. When you're reducing budgets by the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars, it's certainly going to have an impact on Alaskans and programs and services.
The capital cuts run the gamut from large to small. $5,000 was struck for a cleanup project in Anchorage's Mountain View neighborhood. $15,000 was vetoed that would have gone to earthquake-proof library shelves in a children's reading room in Kenai. $35,000 for repairs to the popular flat-top hiking trail in Anchorage, also gone. The biggest veto, though, is $10 million that would have gone to expanding substance abuse treatment facilities around the state. Anchorage Democrat Ivy Sponholz co-chairs the Health and Social Services Committee in the House.
We heard from providers that, you know, they can bill Medicaid and insurance for addiction treatment, but they just can't scale up to meet the need fast enough, and that having capital money would get those facilities up and running sooner in order to ensure more people get the treatment that they need.
Sponholz says local governments would have matched funds in order to secure those state dollars.
There are projects that are shovel-ready or near shovel-ready in the Mattsu Valley, down on the Kenai Peninsula, up in Nome.
The governor's office didn't respond to specific questions about the cuts. Instead, members of the media were directed to a statement posted to social media addressing the addiction treatment veto. It explains the money was vetoed because the funding for it was not attached to specific plans or proposals and was not requested by any particular organization or state agency.
That's a disingenuous answer, I'm afraid.
Democrat Tom Begich represents Anchorage in the Senate. He says specifics for those kinds of projects come after the money has been made available and organizations or municipalities can prepare proposals to bid on them. He sees the capital budget vetoes and the governor's fiscal approach as part of a strategy to reduce state spending by shifting the costs of services to local governments. But as Begich sees it, issues like addiction and homelessness aren't so neatly separated.
I think it's a philosophical debate. The governor perceives that local problems should be handled by local money. But our homeless problem is not local, it's statewide. This is the hub city for this state. The residents who are caught up in the homelessness cycle are not just Anchorage residents, they're folks from all over the state. So this really is a statewide issue and it requires statewide focus.
Asked about the possibility of legislators overriding the governor's capital budget vetoes, Begich and Spanholtz were not optimistic. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
Unalaskans have one more week to file to run for local office. The candidacy period will close next Monday, August 19th, for the 5 seats on this year's municipal ballot. The 3 city council spots are currently held by Roger Rowland, Dave Gregory, and Mayor Frank Kelty, and the 2 school board posts belong to Kelty and Denise Rankin. As of this morning, only Gregory had declared his candidacy. He is running for re-election at Council Seat D. Unalaska's election is set for October 1st. And that is the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.